Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you. Thank you. We'll continuously desire to trust and obey you in all that we do. For there's truly no other way to be happy in Jesus. Father, thank you for creating in us a hunger, a desire, and the appetite for more of you and less of us. Father, thank you so much for the grace you've given to us, even at this time of the day, to be willing to come on this line just to wait on you and to hear, oh God, what you are teaching us. Father, bless your people. Open our understanding. Open our eyes and give us clarity so that we can truly walk and live in that which you are giving us understanding of. Receive all the glory. Receive all the honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Last week, we were looking at a subject that I was sharing with you all that is one of the greatest is one of the greatest battle we face, but we don't realize that is the underlining of the battles we face. And there's still somebody that has their phone on a speaker phone. Yeah, and maybe they're not close to their phone. Okay, if you can put it on mute, that would be very helpful. Thank you. It's one of the greatest battles we face, but we don't really realize that is the reason for the battle. And also it's one of the deepest area of kingdom mysteries that we don't really realize what God is doing in our life sometimes. And that's why Paul wrote to the Roman church in Romans chapter 8. He says, after we seek the help of the Spirit in prayer, he said the Spirit helps our infirmity, for we know not how to pray as we should. But then he says, the Spirit of God prays for us because he knows the mind of God, prays the will of God for us. And he says, so all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to God's purpose. So that's why he said that, because the ways of God are so high and than our ways. So when we pray and God is bringing about his mystery, this of his will to pass in our lives, sometimes it's very deep to understand. So this season, the Lord is really dealing with me and really, you know, these things I share with you are things that God is just dealing with me and really calling my attention to the reality of going deeper in truth with the Word of God. So that's why we started that last week, about really knowing what the will of God is and understanding why we have to spread the will of God. So briefly, for those who might not have joined us last week, you know, we looked at Ezekiel chapter 28, where God was using an analogy of the king of Tyrus, but he was really talking about the creation, how, you know, the Satan was created as a cherub, and that's Lucifer, and everything beautiful was made in him, and eventually how he was corrupted and how he fell into pride. But we went to Isaiah 14, where it became clear what that pride was, what manifested sin in this beautiful, powerful being that God created called Lucifer. And what caused the fall was because he was magnifying his will, his self-will. He was exalting his will and was trying to put his will above the will of God. And we saw how, last week, how he was able to deceive the first human beings that God created after his image on earth in the garden, Adam and Eve, and caused them again to use their willpower to disobey God. And the bottom line is because God has created in his image and likeness. A free will. If we really choose what we do with our will or not, whether we are to submit to the will of God or to submit to our own will. So, and this has nothing to do with unbelievers. Unbelievers are already condemned because they are blinded, like we all were, not knowing what the will of God is. But this is a very deep area. As we become believers, that we, God begins to disciple us in the area of surrender. That's why it all started in heaven, where there was no sin. And it was who we call Satan now, was the first person that manifested this self-will and was cast out and was separated and condemned. And then Adam, could you imagine, because of the disobedience of one man, the whole human race came under this separation of God's plan and will, and Satan started ruling out of that. So we see that it's not a small thing for us to take, knowing this subject lightly. The knowing the will of God is a very great aspect of spiritual maturity. Desire this area. So today, we want to continue in that area of the will of God. So I want to start again by reading one of the scriptures we mentioned last week. And this is in the area of prayer. And please understand that God has made it so that every purpose of heaven, for it to be manifested on earth, God has made it where he has to partner with man. And that partnership with man, the highest level of God's partnership with man, is the place of prayer. And that's why Jesus made it clear here in this area, in the book of Luke. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees, the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. The very key to the prayer, this model of prayer, if you go down, the key is the will of God. The will of God is what really is the key to this Lord's Prayer. It says, here is heaven and here is the earth. Every prayer you pray, inviting God, inviting the kingdom, inviting the power of God, is to enforce and to manifest the will of God. So the will of God is the plans and the purposes of heaven being revealed in the earth. The will of God is the word of God. So when we pray, the partnership with God, God says our prayer has to be in agreement with his will. So anytime we say, thy kingdom come, we must also be in agreement that your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. So in the will of God, which is the purposes, the plans, and the promises of God, all in God's word, is all covered in the will of God. Now, let's look at another scripture here in the book of John. It says, John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Let's fast forward to verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, to them that believe on his name. Now, listen to this clear separation in verse 13. To them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. So we see here that there's a separation of people that are born of the flesh and blood, which is the will of the flesh, and of the will of man. So God is now separating the will of God from the will of the flesh, or from the will of man. All these are all connected to the fallen man, fallen nature. But he says we are born again, born of the will of God, born again by the word of God. Verse 14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we're talking about Jesus was born of the will of the Father, and that's why he's a son of God. To them he's giving power to become son of God, because they are born of God. They are born of the word of God. They are born of the will of God. So again, let's understand that the will of God is the plans of God, the purposes of God, and the word of God. So we see again in the book of 1 John chapter 5, I'll read from verse 14. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. God hears prayers or things that are connected to his will, to his word. He heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. The petition that we desire of him. So here we see again in prayer that the foundation of our confidence in prayer is based on knowing that we are, our prayer is partnering, is based on the will of God. And the will of God is the word of God. Amen. So now, as we can see that the reason we have to be born again as a platform or the beginning for us to even seek the will of God is that we are born of God. We are born of God. So if we are born of God, then the Bible says we now have access by the Spirit to begin to now seek after the will of God. So Jesus says, when we pray, this is really foundational. I'm just repeating myself. When we pray, we have to pray, no matter what we pray, no matter how much we call unto God, our prayer must be based on the will of God for the kingdom of God to rule. Amen. So, having this background, this basis, we are born again. Now we start praying the will of God for the kingdom of God to manifest. What does that look like? The Lord, as you can see on this line, I understand the things of God a little bit better with natural illustration. So sometimes God will use those natural illustrations to give me understanding of spiritual things. So God used an illustration that we are familiar with in our modern world to give me some understanding on this thing about praying the will of God as a child of God, born of the will of God, and walking and moving in the will of God, and how to understand the depths of how it works. So the illustration he used is what we call the GPS today. The GPS is a technological device that is empowered through the satellite. Both of us, all of us on this line, we don't worry. We don't even have to think twice when we use it. We don't want to ask a question. How does this work? How does it work? How is it going to work? Is it going to work for me? You know, we don't reason. We don't rationalize. Because we are human. We see it. We use it. You know it works. So we don't worry. So the GPS, we really use it by faith because it works. So what do we do with the GPS? The GPS, they will say, put the destination of where you're going. And before that is before you leave where you're going. You're going, let's say you're going from Tennessee to New York. You have to put in your GPS in Tennessee, you have to put the address where you're going in New York. And then when you put the address where you're going, some GPS if it's not automatic, you have to put the location where you are right now. So you put the location where you are right now, and then you put the address of where you're going. And then it comes up, and then you push go. What have we just done with the GPS? We just programmed our trip. We just programmed our journey. So with the GPS, you program the end of your journey from the beginning of your journey. So the word of God is very clear. It says God knows the end from the beginning. The book of Revelation makes it clear that God has finished this work. He finished it from Genesis. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows our life completely. But the only way we can begin to walk in kingdom joining, in kingdom agenda, is for us to be born again. Because by virtue of the fall, men are now programmed by the will of the flesh and the will of man. Everybody that is not born again is already programmed by the will of man and the will of the flesh. They are already, their GPS is programmed to hell already because of fall. So the reason Jesus came is because our sins have to be forgiven, and then we now receive his life, born again, and now we are reprogrammed. Born again, we are reprogrammed, totally brand new nature. And this nature is the will of God, the child of God. So now we are reprogrammed. Now, so our GPS, the word of God, is now programmed. And our final destination is not everything, the blessings, the ministry, everything we do in this world. Our programming right now as born again is not to end in this world. Our GPS, our spiritual GPS, our destination is heaven. So now we are programmed, born again, but we are children. So God now begins to tell us our prayers has to be based on the programming that we've received. We have to be in agreement with what we've been programmed, so that as we stay in agreement with the programming of our spiritual GPS, we know that our destination is guaranteed. Now, Jesus says, always pray your will be done. Because the nature we have is God's will. And we cannot program this nature that we have we can't combine it with our will or our flesh. But unfortunately, we are still in this world. We are born of the flesh, And we still have our own self-will. So what happens now, like the GPS, God, we are born again, so we are already programmed to make it to heaven. But we're on earth. So what happens to the GPS? You program the GPS from Tennessee, you're going to New York. Your destination is guaranteed. And you start driving. Somehow, because of the error or detours or problems with the way the road system is, sometimes we miss the road. Sometimes we make mistakes. And the GPS starts recalculating. Or you say, take a different turn or do something. Immediately, the GPS will give you another direction or will detour you to take you back on track to your destination. So that is the provision that God has made for us born again. Say, you are in the world. You are still in the flesh. You still have your self-will. You've not learned completely how to surrender your will to God's will. You've not learned completely the mysteries of God. You're still dealing with the flesh. So God made room for what they call repentance. So whenever we go through moments where we miss God, or where we get in the flesh, or our will is now being usurped, God made a room for us to repent. Repentance is what eventually takes us back on our GPS track. And then we're back again, moving towards the plan of God for our life as we stay in prayer. But when we don't repent, it's like I was traveling on a road one time. I've already gone off the road. But I was then, it was MapQuest. I've gone very far until I got to a rest place, only to find out that road was totally away from the direction I was going. So sometimes, without repentance, pride, our will, steps in the way, and we're totally going off course, God's will. I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about us in the church. So we go off course, thinking we are still in the will of God, but our destination has shifted because we've not repented. So that's why some people wake up, they are in church, they die, they wake up in hell. And people say, how did this happen? So we see that what I'm sharing with you now looks a little bit, using the GPS, you will see how easy it is when we don't repent. For example, you're using the GPS, you're going to New York, and the GPS said, recalculating. After that, that GPS tells you many, many times, something changes and it starts taking you in a different direction. Or, that GPS, if you don't follow it, is very easy to detour. And before you know it, you're on the wrong track. But thank God for this GPS. I use it a lot. The moment I miss the road, I turn around. It shows me the next track. I'm back again on the highway, and it takes me, and we keep going. It redeems everything, and we keep going. Now, that is in the area of our final destination. God has made room for us to repent. One of the biggest problems man has, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible says it's not God's desire that any man should perish, but that God has made a way for everybody to repent. So repentance is the opportunity God has given to everybody to recalculate their GPS into God's will. So you see, from Genesis to Revelation, every great man of God that missed it or that fell, it was because they refused to submit to the will of God and they refused to repent. And you see, the end of their way did not go well. That's one aspect I'm talking about, final destination. Now, in the area of prayer, Jesus says, when we pray, John says, when we pray the will of God, there must be confidence. He says it's this confidence we have that when we pray according to his will, we know that God has heard us. Because that's the will of God. That's the word of God. We know he's heard. And he says if we know that he's heard us, then we must rest assured that that which we have desired will surely come to pass. By faith, we believe. So that's the power of prayer. So yes, if you, again, it's like this. I remember the Lord spoke to Daniel. He says, the day, from the moment you opened your mouth to pray, your prayers have been answered. But there was a delay. Because there was a delay. The angel says, I was wrestling with the prince of Persia. So I just want to use that as an example. But what it is here, when we pray the will of God, we have automatically programmed that thing to come to pass. We are in partnership with that promise. We're in partnership with that dream. We're in partnership with that vision, that it will surely come to pass. But here's the problem. When you program a GPS, you know that thing has been programmed to take you to your destination. It will get you there. The GPS will get you there. But there's a distance from where you are to where your destination is. And that distance, sometimes there's a process. You go up the road, you come back, you go up the road, you come back. So the timing, sometimes the GPS will tell you have 7 hours to get there, you have 3 hours to get there. But the difference with the kingdom of God is, when we program prayer, or we are in partnership with God, we pray the will of God and God has answered, or we have a dream and God has given us a dream or a vision, and we're praying into that vision, we're believing God for that. The difference is that God's GPS is the will of God. And the will of God, for it to come to pass, God gives us so many opportunities through this process to surrender to the will of God. To surrender our will to the will of God. To surrender the will of our flesh to the will of God. For example, how does this happen? Example I just gave. When there's a delay in a prayer answered, we should press in, we should persevere to come to pass. In Hebrews chapter 6, God says, after Abraham has patiently endured, he received the promise. What does that mean, after he patiently endured? If you read it, you think it's a small thing. But read the life of Abraham. The moment God gave him a word, the life of Abraham is now programmed with the will of God. But Abraham has so many times to deal with the will of his flesh and to deal with the will of man. So all those years of waiting, the will of man finally expired. The will of the flesh finally expired. None of them, every one of them came to their end. But the will of God never failed. Isaac was still born. The will of the flesh and the will of men is Ishmael. When we are going through and God has given us a will, God has given us a dream, and after a while, we don't see it, it's not happened. Knowing that this thing is already programmed, it will surely come to pass because it's God. And God is not limited by flesh. But because we're human, our will comes sometimes gets in. Our flesh sometimes gets in. And that's how Ishmael came about. Another example is the life of Joseph. He had a dream. That dream was the will of God revealed to him. Joseph's life was programmed to be a leader. Joseph's life was already programmed, and God showed him his will, you know, just a glimpse of his will, a program from heaven about his life for him to pray into. So what happened? You can tell, even though it's not written there, Joseph was tested about the will of his flesh and the will of man. The will of man tried to stop it. The brothers tries to stop it. Joseph's flesh was tested. But what happened? Joseph was already programmed. Every trial, every betrayal, every attack of the enemy, every attack of men, every plan of men, everything hell can throw at Joseph came. But every one of them expired. Even though the will of man, the plan of the spirit, the will of the flesh, of Potiphar's wife, everything that could stop Joseph expired, simply because Joseph was a man who kept his eyes on the will of God. And as long as he did that, everything that happened to him, they had their expiration date. But the will of God has already been programmed, and Joseph saw the destination of what God revealed to him because he was already programmed. God's word is God, and God is his word. And when God speaks, God has already programmed the end from the beginning, just like GPS. Whenever God gives a promise, it's programmed. The end is already there. But it's us now are given the opportunity through the process of waiting for the finished work to come to pass to surrender our will at each interval or to surrender our flesh. Another perfect example is Jesus. Jesus took 30 years just waiting on God, learning to surrender to the will of God, like I shared last week. But here is how you know that the will of God will test our flesh, will test our direction, is the program GPS. And it's a mystery. If we know how to surrender to it, we will get to our destination. Flesh and blood can never stop the will of God. Death can never stop the will of God. Nothing can stop the will of God from coming to pass if we submit to it. So Jesus was an example. At the garden, you remember, he was crying. First of all throughout his ministry, all he was saying was, I only do what my Father shows me. I have only come here to do the will of God, the will of my Father, nothing else, not my will. That's all his message. But finally, the greatest test that he had to pass through was the final one. He has all power, he has all might, he has all ability, but now he was to finish the final aspect of the will of God for his life, and that was to go to the cross. He fought it in the flesh. He wrestled with it. His flesh, his will, he fought. Is there no other way? Is there no? He prayed. He cried. He was praying. But guess what? At the end, he says, not my will. Not my will. But your will be done. This is God in the flesh, teaching us how to manifest the will of God in the flesh, in this world. How to pass our test, how to surrender, how to finish strong, how to defeat Satan in every way. And this is the biggest revelation of the defeat of Satan. He prayed, not my will, but your will be done. This is what always happened. The will of God is the wisdom of God. Is a trap for Satan. Every time you walk in the will of God, you always defeat the devil. So here Jesus prayed. He says, not my will, but your will be done. What does Satan think outwardly? He says, I got him now. What was the will of God? That he would be crucified. What happened? He was crucified. On that cross was the final victory that Adam lost. On that cross was the final victory of Satan and everything that he has stolen. He has the keys and everything. On that cross, Jesus surrendered to the will of God. Why is the will of God so deep? Why is it a mystery? Because we don't understand it. Abraham did not understand it. That's why Ishmael was born. That's why I said, maturity in Christianity, you have to desire the will of God. The Bible says it. Paul, when he was learning this mystery of the will of God, he said in the book of Romans 12, he says, when we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, we get to a level as we surrender, God will start teaching us what is his good will, his acceptable will, and his perfect will. But those are the three levels of God's will. Based on our maturity, we'll be able to know how to walk in any of those. So, Jesus says, not my will, but your will be done. As soon as Jesus surrendered to to the will of God. He was crucified. He died in the flesh. But what happened? He was raised in the third day. He was raised the third day. And guess what? Satan was totally defeated. Let me quickly tell you about Lazarus. The moment God spoke and said, Lazarus' sickness is for the glory of God, that is the answer to prayer. He's been programmed. That word from the mouth of the Lord has programmed the destiny of Lazarus. So whether Lazarus was sick, whether he died, it doesn't matter with God. He's been programmed. So when sickness came, death came, it did not change the will of God. Because the will of God, like GPS, is already programmed to take you to your destination. So when Lazarus died, when Jesus came, he says, Lazarus, come up. Why? Because from the beginning, Lazarus was programmed to live. Whether he was 3 days dead, he was programmed to live. That's why, whether Joseph was put in the tree, was put in dungeon, wherever they put him, whether Sarah's womb died, God has spoken, and the word of God has been programmed that Sarah will bring forth his child. So death, Paul says, death, life, angels, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ, which is the will of God. So, the will of God, you can also see, again, in the area where the will of God is not only answering prayer, like we say, you wait on the answer to prayer. Here's another aspect, not only the will of God defeating Satan on the cross and stripping him. Here's another way the will of God works in the defeat of Satan. God spoke to Moses. He says, Moses, I want you to go in this direction. This is the direction the GPS is taking you. The GPS is the word of God. Moses, go in this direction. That's God's GPS. The word of God is God. And wherever you're walking with the word of God, God is with you. So he says, go in this direction. And Moses received that, programmed that in the GPS. But guess where the GPS took them? The GPS took them to a dead end. In human mind, is a dead end. In Pharaoh's mind, in Satan's mind, in Pharaoh's heart, is a dead end. But that was not a dead end for God. God has already programmed them to go through that place to obtain their promise. So what is an obstacle? What is a mountain to man? If God has given you direction, you've received his word, you've seen his promise, you received his will by dream or by vision or by revelation, it's programmed. Whether there's a mountain, it will move. Whether there's a river, it will part. Whether there's an obstacle, it will not stop God. Because God and his word are one. And when you move in that direction, you're moving in the GPS of God. And wherever the GPS of God takes you, that's God taking you, and nothing will stop you. So when Moses moved in that direction, guess what? As the GPS moved through the waters, the enemy could not come through that same direction. So the reason why Jesus says we should pray the will of God is that as we stand in agreement with the will of God, our flesh is the only thing that gets crucified. Because anywhere the will of God goes, flesh and self must die. And that's what the cross is. Every time you're praying the will of God and you are obeying the will of God, two things must die. Self must die. Flesh must die. And that's the reason why it's a mystery and people don't understand it. But finally, for time before we close, why is it important? Whether your flesh is dying or self is dying, it's important to stick with the will of God is this. Jesus was now speaking and he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name I have done many wonderful works. And then I will say unto you, I never knew you. You depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So here's what he's saying. It's not to unbelievers. He's saying, you've been programmed, born, programmed for heaven. But you still have yourself way to deal with. You still have your own flesh to deal with. If you get blessed, spiritual gifts, power, ministry works, but you don't wait on God, you don't pray the will of God and allow the GPS of God to lead you through the will of God, but you're usurping your own will like Saul, King Saul. You're using the anointing, you're using the power, you're using your blessing, you're using everything to satisfy your will. That GPS you've already detoured. And you're going your own way, thinking you're still moving in the will of God. So GPS, Jesus says, when the time comes, you say, I don't know you. You were going a different direction. You used all I've given to you to move in your will, but you did not move in the will of God. He says, only those who do the will of God will make it to heaven, or focused on that direction, or their GPS is in alignment with that direction. So I just feel we are in a generation where there's so much about to happen. The will of God is about to interrupt the will of man and the will of the nations. The will of God is... So, for us that have been waiting and praying, it's important for us to appreciate why God has put us on the altar of prayer and to wait. So, this is the aspect that I feel is time for us to start getting understanding, so that you're not frustrated when things are not going the way of your flesh. Things are not going the way you wanted it to go. Jesus says, he says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. It's the place of surrender. Finally, the reason I'm sharing this with you is I was in that place. There are things I want to do. There are things, doors open. There are things that I prayed for. I want, but it never happened the way I thought. And I feel frustrated. I feel like I missed it. I feel, of course, you know, I missed it. But then the frustration or the condemnation, or then finally God said, surrender. As soon as I surrender, peace comes and understanding comes. And God started saying, nothing matters to you than that you please me, than to please yourself or please man. So in all things, he said, give thanks, for God is working all things for good, for your will. For his purpose, not your purpose, not your plan, for his purpose, because you prayed. So my brothers and sisters, the key to always walking in the will of God is, no matter what, after you prayed, things are not going the way you think, or people are taking advantage of you, or whatever it is, just surrender to God and trust him to turn things around towards his will. As long as you're following God's GPS, your destination is not this world. Your destination is for a greater purpose, and that's heaven. God bless you for coming tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, while we're waiting for her, I think she was muted. Let's just pray. If you can all unmute your phone tonight, just unmute your phone for a minute. Let's just take a moment. Just ask the Lord to give you the grace in all things to always surrender to his will, to do his will. Let's just lift our voice and just pray. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you. Nothing matters, oh God, but your will. No amount of works, Father, but your will. We desire tonight, O God, that our life be programmed for your will. Be programmed, God, to do your will and your will alone. Your will be done in our lives. Your will be done in our families. Your will be done in, O God, in our marriages. Your will be done in the ministries you made us a steward of. Your will be done in all that we do. Father, we surrender to your will. Forgive us, O God. Anytime, Father, we exalt our will, our flesh above your will. Tonight, O God, we surrender to your will. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.